Most would have agreed that he was known as the greatest preacher of the 20th century. And if you go to England, his church is still there. When he was alive, his preaching was so on target that in the morning there would be 1,500 people every Sunday for 40 years. And in the evening, there would have been 2,000 people. And the interesting thing, what most people don't know, that Martin Lloyd-Jones, when he drew a crowd, he drew young people. And so for 40 years, he preached, and again, he became known as one of the greatest preachers. But he did a book. You can purchase it. It's called Spiritual Depression. Spiritual Depression. And he says some things that I want to use here this morning. This is what he said. Our problem is that we allow ourself to talk to us instead of talking to ourself. Most of our unhappiness is due to the fact that you were listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. In the morning, when you wake up and when I wake up and all the thoughts form of the day, right? Million thoughts, right? This and that and this and that and this and that and this and that. So in the morning when you awake, the question is, who is talking to you? Who is talking to you? You know the answer? Yourself is talking to you. But David gives us an answer in Psalm 42. It's a powerful answer. So instead of allowing his self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. Does that make sense to you? And he says, why, he questions it, why are you cast down? Why art thou cast down? His soul had been oppressing him. And I've been there, and you've been there, where I'm so discouraged, so forlorn. And you feel it, such awfulness when you're feeling down. But his soul had been oppressing him. His soul had been crushing him. The crushing of his soul. And he stands up, and he says, self. And this is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. Self, listen for a moment, and I will speak to you. You see, one of the secrets of the Christian life is learning how to handle our souls, how to handle ourselves. If you don't know how to handle yourself, how will you handle someone else when they go through difficult things? So we take ourself in hand. We don't let these endless assaults and accusations and feelings of failure and dread and depression. We must learn how to handle this. So we take ourselves in hand. You have to address yourself. You have to preach to yourself. You have to question yourself. And you say to your soul, why art thou cast down? This is the secret of the Christian faith. This is how it works. And we ask the question to our soul, what business do you have to be disquieted within me? What business do you have disquieting me? What right do you have to oppress me? And so we must learn to turn on ourselves and upbraid ourselves and condemn ourselves and exhort ourselves and say to ourselves, hope thou in God. That's my job every morning when I get up. When your job every morning, your number one job is to make yourself happy in the Lord. You will not make anybody else happy until you make yourself happy in the Lord. And you speak to your soul and you say to yourself, hope thou in God, instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way that we seem to have. I can remember one time I was conscious of this being so just discouraged. And I was in the shower, and I'm kind of praying, but I guess I'm praying. And I was kind of along this, Lord, please help me, please encourage me. Oh, God, I pray you'd supply, and you know, all these things that were on my heart and my mind. And, of course, you know, I was sinking. The more I prayed, the further down I was sinking. Right? I was depressing myself with my own prayers, but not conscious of what that was happening. So I could feel, and finally I felt the Lord say to me, stop praying and start saying. So instead of saying, Lord, please help me, Lord, look after me, Lord, surround me, Lord, it's, Lord, thank you. Thank you, you're surrounding me. Thank you, God, for sending your only begotten Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you, Lord, that you will supply all this in the right time. I bless you and I praise you. So we say it, and as I said it, of course, my inner man is lifted up. I'm strengthened within. So these are the points where you must speak to yourself, and you must upbraid yourself and condemn yourself, not cuddle yourself. Condemn yourself and say, you know, and to question, what gives you that right to bring accusation against me like this? And so we go on and we remind ourselves of God. We remind ourselves of God, of who God is. That must be brought into what you're facing as to who God is and what God is. And what God has done, and what God has pledged himself to do, both now and in the future. And then we can end on this idea, to defy yourself. That's right, to defy yourself, and defy other people, and defy the devil, and defy the whole world if necessary, if it comes against the truth of Scripture. And as we defy ourselves and we defy other people and we defy the devil and we defy the whole world, and we say with this man in Psalm 42, verse 5, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. That is the victory that is ours. So I would say to you, don't listen to yourself. Talk, don't listen to yourself. How the psalmist gives us encouragement, because he responds to discouragement and depression in Psalm 42 like almost no place else. And so there are several things here that I drew out of the text that I'd like to share with you. What was his secret? How was he able to speak to his soul and say, why art thou cast down? How was he able to do that? Well, there's a number of things, so let me just give them to you here this morning. Number one, he asked God, why? Why? Why has God forsaken me? Now, we've all had those feelings. You might be having it here this morning. You see, it's okay to ask the why. Now, you will not get the answer to the why by asking why. You know that, right? I know that. Whenever I say, why, God, that answer is never coming. It's not coming today, it's not coming tomorrow, it's not coming the next day. It's not coming. What will happen, but not why. So it looks to David, he's asking because it looks like God, and I say looks, didn't say it was, it looks like God has forsaken him. It feels like God has left him. Has it left? No. But it feels like it. And it looks like it. From all outward appearances, it looked like he was forsaken. It looked like life was going to get worse and worse and worse. There was this tumult of emotion. But oh, how feelings fail. Do they not? Feelings fail. Oh, man. I can feel one thing. I remember one time this individual, back in Regina days, this individual, I told you to be quiet. Why have you done that? They phoned and said, I need to see a pastor right away. Right away. Right away. Okay, so we arranged it, met, poured out this terrible, terrible tale of despair and anguish and angst and everything else. And so we prayed together and they left. An hour later, they're phoning, booking the church for the gymnasium. Same person. They're booking the gymnasium. I just was pulling them back from the brink of suicide, at least that's how they felt. And an hour later, they went to book the volleyball court. And I'm thinking, you know, feelings, sentimental feelings. What? Because they felt better. You know, here is calling the entire pastoral staff to pray, to bring them back from the brink of suicidal depression. And an hour later, they booked the gym. And I said, you know, I think we need to have another talk. But that's how it felt. I am sure that's how it felt, that at 9 o'clock, God had forsaken them. Their lives were in despair. They couldn't go on anymore. By 11 o'clock, feeling not so bad. Thank you very much. Oh, you want to do coffee afterwards? Yes, we'll do that. How failings feel. That's why if you turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 6 and verse 26, I don't know if it's even in your notes, but let me just read it from my Bible. Do you think that you can reprove words when the speech of when the speech of a despairing man is wind? Words for the wind. You see, don't jump on the words of a despairing person. It's what they're feeling. It's what they're looking at. So we don't jump on the words of a despairing man. We just let it go. Let the wind blow it away. They are, as John Piper says, they are words for the wind. In other words, I can't tell you how many times people, thousands, maybe hundreds of times for sure, have talked to me and talked with me, and they're saying, I can't trust God anymore. Mm-hmm. Anything else? I'm mad at God. Mm-hmm. Anything else? I'm thinking of quitting the church. Mm-hmm. Are you? Doing that today? Well, I might. I'm really disappointed with you, Pastor. I thought you probably would be. Now, why do I not rebuke that? Why do I not? Because they're words for the wind. They're words for the wind. Don't react to someone who feels like ditching God or who is mad at God. They're merely words for the wind. And sometimes there can be a lot of words. And that's what they're feeling. But the Lord never answers the question why. But you can have. So David asks why? Because it felt like it. But you can't go with that. And as I've said, don't rebuke a despairing man. He said, you shouldn't feel that way. You should be ashamed of yourself, so you're not going to serve Jesus. Because kind of many times people will say, well, what's the benefit of serving the Lord if it doesn't work out? Well, so there's lots of benefits. Well, it doesn't feel like it is to me. And so you don't come against that. You just listen because you know they're words for the wind. And tomorrow they're going to book the gymnasium for volleyball. And sure enough, because they're still with us, right? They're still around. We know that's how it worked out. Number one, he asked why. Number two, David affirms God's sovereign love for him. Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 9. Psalm 42, verse 11. Your breakers. Let me get back there. Your breakers. Have crashed upon me. Have crashed upon me. Your waves have crashed upon me. And I made a little note that all this crashing and oppressive and discouraging circumstances, are you ready for this, are the waves and the breakers of God. They said they're from God. Verse 7, deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and all your waves have gone over me. They came from God. They came from God. David never loses his grip, though, in the midst of that, recognizing these things that are happening to me, God, they're from you. But he never loses his grip, and catch this and make a note of this, of the great truths about God. This is how you handle life. This is how you can feel things. You can be, you know, say despair and so discouraged and so cast down. But when you hang on to the great truths about God, because these great truths are, for David, they're his ballast in his little boat of faith. They're the ballast in his little boat of faith. He affirms God's sovereign love for him. And it's a powerful thing. So verse 7, the waves have come, the breakers, all the waves have gone over me. And then he says, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his songs are with me. He's reminding himself about the things that never change. God's love, the cross, salvation, God's sovereignty, God's omnipresence. We know that, but we hang on to these truths about these great truths. In other words, I might be feeling ill and depressed and discouraged, but I haven't let go of the truths, the great truths of the faith, the things that hold us. So he affirms God's love for him in and through all of these troubles. He says, God, your loving kindness is better than life. I bless you and praise you. By day, your love is around me. By night, your song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I thought, wow, that's so wonderful. He had not given up the faith. He didn't understand a lot of things that were happening, but he knew the Lord was there and that God could never fail him. God, why are you, in other words, have you made a mistake? God can't make a mistake. You remind yourself of that great truth. God is never wrong. You are wrong, and I am wrong, but God is never wrong. He couldn't say, God failed me. No, he didn't. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. He can never fail. Why? Because he's God. That's what you hang on to. Say, well, I don't feel. Nothing to do with your feelings. It's the truth that it's the ballast in your little boat of faith that God loves me. God cares about me. Nothing has changed. He took time to save me, to fill me with his Holy Spirit, to walk with me all these years. God cannot fail. So we begin to say, never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. That's the truth you hang on to when you don't feel anything, when it looks like it's terrible, it feels like it's terrible, and you know that these breakers and these waves are crashing and are oppressive. These discouraging circumstances are the waves of God. That God's using them in our lives, and we hang on to that because they're great truths. They're great truths. So that's number two. Number three, verse 8 says he sings. And at midnight, his song and God's songs are with me in the middle of the night. Now, maybe I haven't broken into song at night. I'd like to be able to think that I did, but I haven't too much on that. But David did. He sings to the Lord at night, and he's seeking jubilant hope, a pleading song, a song, as he says, to the God of my life. But it might be that if a song was on your heart, and in the middle of the night, you would sing. But he says, I'm singing to God, his loving kindness in the day, and his care about me at night. A powerful, powerful thing. He sings. It reminds me of Paul and Silas. What are they in the prison doing? What are they doing? They're singing. Singing again. When we come together, why are we? Well, I'll talk more about this in a moment here. But when we come together, there is an importance in our singing. And I'll touch on that in just a minute. Number four. He preaches to his own soul. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. Owen, hope in God. Marcel, hope in God. Val, hope in God. Hope in God. For I shall praise him, my salvation, my God. So we must learn to preach the truth to ourselves. I have found that many times, I can tell you right ahead of time, because I'm speaking on this particular topic here today and these weeks ahead, is that I know that I'll have to live out every one of them. I'm aware of that, that I will be speaking myself. I say, well, I spoke to the congregation, and next week, sure enough, I'll be speaking to myself. I'll need to be speaking to myself. So that's the question. Who is speaking to you? Hear that you here today. Who is speaking to you? Yourself is talking to you. So it's time to start talking to yourself. Self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. So we must, as it were, preach the gospel to ourselves and remind ourselves of what we actually believe. And so if it has to do with provisions, so Val and I will pray together and say, Lord, we thank you for your provisions for us. Say, well, I don't know where they are. Well, we haven't seen them, but that's why we're praying. We thank you that you have never failed us and you never will fail us. So we bless you for that. And we just preach to ourselves that God is Jehovah Jireh. And say, before I might have encouraged somebody in my office, now I have to encourage myself that I must speak the words, preach to myself about the very things I probably preach to somebody else. Now I have to preach to myself. And it'll, of course, be even more real when I have to do that. Number five, he remembers past experiences. Well, Psalm 42, verse 4, the things I remember as I pour out my soul. What does he remember? He said, I remember going along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. I was leading them. I was leading the singers. I was leading the musicians. I was leading the worshipers. I was leading the sacrifices. All of that had to do with the sacrifice. With glad, he said, I was shouting glad shouts. I was singing songs of praise. A multitude keeping festival. He said, God was in us. He was saying, God was in our midst. God was in our midst. As I said to Sharon this morning, it's good to have her here, but it's also good for her to be here. Right? It's the same about the importance of corporate worship in our lives. This is not just a time that we kind of, you know, sing and then we have the message. Well, that might be the order, but it can't be like that. It's not a lead up. It's the thing. It's the very thing. Because especially if the theology is good. How many times people have been brought out of despair? They came to church and, oh, the songs ministered to them. You know, hymn after chorus, song after song of truth, right? That's, and I said, oh, the importance of corporate worship in our lives. How much more serious we should be about corporate worship, because when people come in, the message may or may not be, you know, what they're interested in. You know, I might be preaching on this, on tithing or something, and they've just had a great loss in their life. But the songs and the body of Jesus, and when we begin to sing and to praise and we lift our hands and we begin to bless the Lord, then the Spirit begins to move in that place, in this place. Right? But many times people come, I'm just waiting for, I don't know, looking at this, not entering in, not doing anything. There is a great blessing in corporate worship. There is a strength. It's like a weapon, almost, as we begin to praise it. So don't view it as the lead up for the sermon. It's the very thing what we've come to do, to bless the Lord and remind each other of the great truths. Right? So you say, well, I this week it felt like God wasn't anywhere near me, but I came to church and I could feel and sense and knew that God that all would be well. Because I saw so-and-so worshiping. I saw so-and-so worshiping. And that corporateness about coming together, it's crucial to our lives. We sing a song. We rejoice. We lift our voices. We say amen. And we remind ourselves. So I say, this is something that we need to constantly keep before to remember. So when we're recounting these things, we remember the past experiences. Well, I've been here before. God saw me through. That happened before all these years. See, I can testify. of all these years, years and years and years, now it really can say that, years and years of living and serving God. How do I know he's real? Because I've seen him work so much. It's not just once I saw God work, but I saw his faithfulness. I saw his provision. I saw his power. I've seen demons flee out of people. When you see these things, your past experiences, you say, right now, I'm not sensing anything. Right now, I'm not feeling anything except despair and God's waves crashing over me. But in my whole life, he has never failed because I'm still here. That's how I know. I'm still here. All that time, God looked after you. God cared for you. And we remember those past experiences when you had the victory, when you were shouting in praises of God. And now we need, so I need to do that again and to practice the truth and put on all these things in my life at this when I'm feeling cast down. I wrote all the importance of corporate worship, and indeed. For those who are downcast, this isn't in your notes. This is all free stuff. Those who are downcast find themselves afflicted by things. And I'm just going to read that. You won't possibly be able to take these all down. But someone has a lack of a foundation in Christ will feel downcast. I mean, why art thou downcast? So lack of a foundation in Christ, that will produce a feeling of being downcast. Secondly, an inability to receive forgiveness for all their sins. It's amazing how many times people I've prayed with, and they said, I'd like you to pray with me because it's not just that I haven't been able to forgive other people, I haven't been able to forgive myself. I have not been able to forgive myself. An inability to receive forgiveness for all of their sins. So they're downcast. That's the result of that. An inability to move beyond past failures. Fear of the future. Getting older. Wondering about God's supply. How's it all going to work out? Putting too much confidence in feelings. That is many people's problem. They're going strictly on how they feel. Whether they have the victory or not have the victory is according to, again, how they feel. Faulty love of one's self and a general contempt of others. That person, I'll read that again. Faulty love of one's self and a general contempt of others. That person will feel often downcast. And then lack of faith. Just not having any faith and trusting God and believing God and looking to him as our only answer. Next, always seeing bad and not good. In other words, the cup is always half empty, not half full. And then there can be a bondage to dead legalism. Oh, yikes. What a terror. Boy, I tell you, that's all you need when you're downcast is to have some dead legalism in your life of pray more, love more, share more, do more, trust more, care more. And it goes on and on and on. And that bondage to dead legalism, you'll be cast down almost all the time. Failure to recognize false teachings. I could spend more time on that. Failure to respond correctly for trials. There is a response. In a trial, there is a certain particular response that is important for us to be able to act on that. Failure to respond correctly to chastening. The chastening is for all of us. These events and things that happen to us. But a failure to properly respond to them can cause you to be cast down, your soul can be cast down. And then lastly, just bitterness and grudges. You will not be able to ascend. Right? You will not be able to speak to your soul when there is bitterness and grudges. You will not be able to do it. It's impossible to do it. So as we ask God to forgive us for these things, and then we renounce them, and we ask the Lord to cleanse us from it, it's a very, very, very powerful experience to have to say, "Wow, I'm gaining the other hand here now. I know how to stand and say, 'Okay, self, you have talked to me long enough. You've talked about my failure. You've talked about my despair. You've talked about that nothing's ever going to work out in my life, that bad things are going to happen to my children. And I'm not taking that anymore. I'm speaking now. I say to my soul, why art thou? What gives you a right to disquiet me? And these, there are wonderful, amazing victories that come to our life. Which brings me to the last point, that he thirsts for God. He thirsts for God. All of this that he'd been going through, back to verse 1 and verse 2, as deer pants for a flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, God. Isn't that interesting? He said, your breakers, your waves, your terrible circumstances, difficulties, setbacks, all these things. And he said, but Lord, my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for you, God, more than ever before. You see, through all of these things that happen to us, we come to love God. And we want to see God. And we want to be with God. We say, I don't know where he is right now. I don't feel him. Especially if there's been a tragedy, right? Especially if there's been a difficulty. We don't see anything. But Lord, despite all that, I just long to be with you and to see you. See, feelings will fail us. But we stand and we declare the truth. And we will make it through all of the events of our lives. That's how it works. So when we're faced with spiritual depression, the question is, who is talking? Are you listening to yourself instead of speaking to yourself? I'd like you to stand if you would. Speaking to yourself, right? Your testimony this morning, even here sitting or standing here with me, is that you must be the one who's doing the speaking. The other day I was getting in my car, and I, for whatever reason, felt kind of a bit oppressed. Just, I don't know what, maybe lack of sleep, who knows what it was. But as I was in the car, I had the radio on. That's never the root of victory. I turned the radio off. You will not gain victory. Right? You will not gain victory by listening to the radio. You can turn it on later, but you can't turn it on. And I just, I said, Lord, I'm feeling kind of heavy. I'm feeling kind of like oppressed. And by personality, I don't get that way too often. So I always know there's something. So I said, Lord, I submit myself to you. I surrender myself to you. And I pray now, I said, in Jesus' name, I break this heaviness that's over me. I cast it off. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's physical or emotional or mental or spiritual or demonic. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. But in Jesus' name, I speak to that heaviness and say, be gone out of my car and be gone off of me. And you know, it's just kind of like I felt something just kind of come off me. Now, I don't know what that was, except that I drove on in victory. And I said, you know, I need to do that more often. Instead of just assuming that's how you should feel, to challenge that, right? Speak to yourself, stir yourself, defy yourself, defy those feelings. You say, oh, it's just how I feel. Well, it's like I remember praying with somebody. I said, how are you doing? Well, not too good under the circumstances. I said, what are you doing under them? You can't be under the circumstances. You must rise. Folks, this is how the victorious life works. We must ascend. We arise over these things. So we've got able to speak into somebody's heart to encourage them, to strengthen them. And I trust that we'll bless each other even here today. I mean, just the fellowship together, right? Such a powerful thing. So, Lord, many times we've all gone through things where we wondered, Lord, what was happening and why is it happening? We thank you, Lord, that you're a present help in time of trouble. Lord, even the folks that we prayed for this morning, no doubt they're wondering where you are too and why you've allowed things to carry on as they have. And Lord, as we prayed for them, we now pray for ourselves. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Hallelujah. Lord, I put my hope in you. I remind myself of your great truths that never change. And we bless you. Lord, we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We bless you. I want to give you a chance now, the congregation, just with their eyes closed, just if you just want to raise a prayer, just respond to what we were speaking here this morning. Yes. Somebody else. Yeah, amen. Yes. Somebody else. One more? Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, we say so. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you'd like to prayer this morning, we're going to invite you to come over here and the prayer people. If you join us over here on this side. And if you have a connection card and you'd like to let us know about some needs you have, or if you're a visitor, you can come to the back table there. And we've got a special gift for you there. And you can, if you have a prayer request or anything else you want us to know, just to connect with the connection cards, you can put it in the box there or at the other door or at the entrances there. They'll be ready for you. Just put it in there and they'll gather it up afterwards. And then we invite you, if you can, to endure the cold. I think it's warming up degree by degree, but join us for coffee. Again, we bless and encourage each other just hanging out together. So thank you for being here this morning. The Lord bless you. And keep those ones we prayed for this morning, keep them in your prayers if you would today. So God bless you. Thank you.